I'd like to see a show of hands. How many of you have spent time in the Pocono Mountains or in the Catskills? Oh, a lot of you. Well, me too. I spent every summer of my childhood in a bungalow colony in Sailorsburg, Pennsylvania, right at the edge of the Catskill of the Pocono Mountains. And every summer, when we drove up there, we'd turn to our neighbors and say, we're going to the mountains. And everyone knew what we meant, because if you were from Long Island or New York City, the mountains meant the Poconos or the Catskills. I remember their beauty. I remember being amazed by them as a kid. And I remember the drive. The drive was something which just stuck with me throughout my life, because we'd leave in the morning and drive through New York City, out the Holland Tunnel, and across the Pulaski Skyway, which I thought was the most awesome structure I'd ever seen, and past Newark Airport, which I always adored, and out Route 22. Now, I don't know if you were around then to remember, but Route 22 used to be a rural road, a rural highway. There were no stores. There were no malls. It was a beautiful open road, and every several miles along the way, there was a roadside rest. Now, a roadside rest was not a McDonald's or a Burger King. It was an actual pull-off from the road where there were picnic tables. And families would pull off to the side of Route 22 and sit and picnic there. I remember it was always one of the highlights of our trip, because we'd stop there in the middle of the day. It was an all-day trip to get to the Poconos back then. And we'd get to the picnic table, and my mother would pull out lunch. And I don't remember what she gave us for lunch, but I always remember having hard-boiled eggs. She pulled out these hard-boiled eggs wrapped in aluminum foil and these little tiny containers of salt, which I thought were just so cool. And we would stop and have lunch there, and we'd continue on through eastern Pennsylvania, and then we'd turn up Route 31 and drive for several miles through the plains of Pennsylvania, and then off in the distance, I'd start to see the mountains. And as they rose on the horizon, they were just incredible. They were an awesome sight. They seemed from end to end, from horizon to horizon, to be an unbroken string of mountains. As we approached them, I saw this cut in the middle of the mountains. Very early on in my life, my father explained to me that that was Wind Gap, a place where the wind had tried to find a way through the mountains and wasn't able to on its own, and so it gradually eroded the mountains down to a place where they could pave a road and cars could drive in between the mountains. And as we approached Wind Gap, I knew that we were near, because Sailorsburg lay just on the other side of the first couple of mountains into the Poconos. I remember as a little child driving toward the mountain and being amazed at how awesomely big they were. Later on, I looked it up and found out that the mountains on either side of Wind Gap rose to over 800 feet above sea level. And I always found them to be one of the most impressive sights I had ever seen. The Poconos themselves, at their highest place, rise to over 2,000 feet above sea level. And the Catskills, the northern Catskills, actually reach almost twice that high. They reach more than 4,000 feet above sea level. Those were the mountains. I always knew those were the mountains. Until, several years ago, Shira and I made a trip to Colorado. Our plane landed in Denver, which is itself 5,000 feet above sea level. We rented a car, and we drove to Aspen. And the only thing I can tell you about the mountains that I saw out there is that they reminded me of that great scene from the movie Crocodile Dundee. The scene where Mick and his girlfriend are walking on the streets of New York at night, and a man jumps out in front of them, pulls a switchblade, and demands their money. And Mick's girlfriend says, "Mick, give him the money. He's got a knife." And Mick sort of reaches into his pants and pulls out this machete, like 3 feet long, and brandishes it in front of him and says, "It's not a knife. That's a knife." And that's what I thought of when I saw the Rockies. I thought back to my Pocono Mountains and realized, "It's not a mountain. that's a mountain. Because the Rockies rise to almost 3 miles above sea level. If you've never seen them, there is no picture that can do them justice and no description that can do them justice, because they are truly awesome. And as we drove through them, every turn another revelation, every turn another sight of absolute majesty. I remember being struck by my smallness. I remember being struck by how little I was compared to these mountains, and how much I didn't even understand that when I had seen the Poconos of my childhood. I realized when I calculated it that those mountains were 5,000 times taller than I was. 5,000 times my height. And I came back with a new respect for the Rockies, a new understanding of how small I am, and much less respect for the Poconos and the Catskills that I had thought were mountains. Until a little while later, I was in a bookstore, and I saw a book on the geology of the Poconos and the Catskills. And I thought, well, that's odd. Why would anyone bother to do the geology of such unimpressive little mountains? Well, I picked it up and started leafing through the pages, and I learned something that absolutely took my breath away, which is that the Pocono Mountains and the Catskill Mountains used to be taller than the Rockies. The Poconos and the Catskills reached over 2 miles directly up from the sea, over 12,000 feet above sea level, but they weren't near a plain that was a mile high. A 2 mile precipice from the bottom to the top of those mountains. This was 400 million years ago. And in the years since then, wind and rain have worn those mountains down to the tiny little mountains, the hills, that we see today. And as I stood there in the bookstore and made my way through the pages of this surprising book, I did some figuring. And while the Rocky Mountains are 5,000 times bigger than I am, I saw that the Catskills and the Poconos were over 4 million times older than I am. And that were I to live to be 100 years old, those mountains would still be 2 million times older than I am. When we truly see our minuscule place in the world, in space and in time, we can either surrender to our own insignificance, or we can attach ourselves to something bigger than we are. I think it would really be very easy to say that we have no possibility of making a lasting difference in the world, given our size, given the short span of our years, no matter how many years we are given to live. We are such an infinitesimal speck on the geography of the world and on the history of the world, that it would certainly be possible to say that nothing we do can possibly matter, and so decide to live our lives for our own benefit and our own thoughts, with the realization that when we're gone, we will just be gone. But there is another option. And that option comes to us not from the majesty of the Rockies, but from our own mountains, from the Poconos and the Catskills which so many of us have known since our childhood. Because it was not an earthquake that brought down those mountains from their 2-mile summits to the hills we see today. But rather it was drops of water and breaths of air multiplied billions of times over millions of years. If you've seen the Rockies, and if you've seen the Poconos or the Catskills, imagine how such massive things were brought down so low, just by drops of water, just by breaths of air. And it's possible for us to attach ourselves to something bigger than we are, so that we can magnify the time we have and the energy we have to create in this world, to make something beautiful, to make something bigger than we are. Jews know this, because millions of Jews over 3,500 years have combined to pray, to study, and to do acts of loving kindness. And we understand that none of us will be able to complete the task, that none of us will be able to see the end of our work, but that each of us, in combination with all the others, can create something of lasting value, of lasting worth, something which is lasting. There's a wonderful story about a man who was traveling along a road and spied an old man planting a carob tree. Now, carob tree takes 40 years before it bears its first fruit. So the traveler went over to the old man and said to him, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm planting carob trees." And the traveler laughed at him and said, "You fool, you'll never live to see this tree bear fruit." The old man smiled at him and nodded and said, "I know. But the carob trees that are here now are the ones that people planted for me. It's my job to plant the trees for those who come after me." And so it is with Jewish life. We have chosen to plant for the future. We've taken the gifts of the past, the wisdom, the experiences, the deeds of the past, and we have chosen to dedicate ourselves to providing for the future. Because together, with those who came before us and those who will come after, we can make a difference in the world. We can change the face of the world. We can't do it all. We can't know it all. And Judaism understands that life is a combination of mystery and infinity on one hand, and our own efforts on the other. There are things that we can never fathom, because no matter how hard we try, we cannot imagine the forces that created the Rocky Mountains. Nor can we imagine what 400 million years is like. The 400 million years that created the mountains that we know today in Pennsylvania and New York. And so on this birthday of the world, this Rosh Hashanah, we not only praise the God who creates soaring mountain peaks, but also the God who makes it possible for drops of water and gentle breaths of air to carve away those mountains to a size that a young boy could fall in love with.
This podcast is copyright 2024 Rabbi Don Weber. All rights reserved. You may copy and distribute any episode freely, as long as it is preserved in its entirety. For additional permissions, please contact me. Thank you.